With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Give it to me!
Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
Oh, and me? I'm Tom Merritt.
Oh, welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where we perform what we think is a relatively valuable public service in these troubled times. We know you may be busy, you may be distracted, you may be hiding in the bathroom, sobbing hysterically, but don't worry, we're on it. We've found the things.
And you may ask yourself, how did I get here?
And you may ask yourself, when can I get out?
And we're here not to help you get out, but to help you make it through.
That's right.
Because
thanks for joining
crying
us.
In the bathroom in 2020 is a mood.
I mean, I swear you guys, we did not plan that. But it's so true. That is such a thing. I can't even believe we haven't brought it up until now. Yeah. I mean, I'm like actually astonished.
No, this is not a discovery thing. This is a, you know, putting our stamp of like, you know, thingness authenticated on that's a mood, is a mood, however you want to express it. Been seeing it for a while, but I figured it was about time we acknowledge that, you know, I'm doing what something, 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 or I saw someone doing something, 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 or this is happening, something, something, is a mood, is a thing.
Is a thing. Is a mood, is a thing. Boom. Yeah, it's so true. People can be moods. It's actually, I think, even though I did not internalize it, sometimes I have this sort of vague sense like, oh, a thing is a thing. But I don't think to tell Siri, which is, you know, there you go. That's my prep. It was when the Ocean Spray guy video first came out. The guy on the skateboard who was drinking the Ocean Spray, the TikTok. And they were like, this guy is a whole mood. And I'm pretty sure that every single person who referred to him at all
that first day
called him a mood. And I almost think that that's the day where it just, it things stratosphered.
I think you're right. Because I remember that now that you pointed out, I'd forgotten, like, everyone was calling that, you know, guy, Ocean Spray guy, skateboarding. Was he skateboarding? Or was he skating?
I think he was skateboarding, because remember then they brought him
skateboarding is a mood,
yeah.
And that is really when it broke into the stratosphere. That's a mood in Urban Dictionary. It goes back to June 4th, 2018. It's not new.
Dang.
And they define it as when someone does something normally to mimic another and is very relatable. Which I don't know if that's exactly the way it's used anymore. That may be its roots, but
I think it's evolved.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think it really has. But it is, it's true. A person can be a mood, a photo, a GIF. I love that. I love that. Yeah, I'm really glad that you cemented this, that you've made it canon, because it really is.
Every once in a while, I don't know if it's our job, but it's our privilege. It's our pleasure to acknowledge the thingness of something. And this is one of those times.
It is. We're not saying we're coming down from on high to anoint a thing. We would never presume to
coming
anoint.
Down from on high is a mood.
Coming down from on high is a mood. And what a beautiful segue between that and the longboard guy, who I did start following on Instagram. And then I finally had to stop because I was like, this is actually too much weed content for me. However, a thing that will put you in a mood for the longboard guy is my thing, weed gummies.
Weed gummies. Tell me more.
Again, not particularly new, right? Like CBD and cannabis gummies have been around, but they have reached thingness. It's like everybody's doing it, and I've seen them referenced a whole bunch by like the same cohort of women my age who make wine puns. Like weed gummies are a thing with wine pun ladies, so much so that, I mean, look, you know that Martha Stewart is, you know, pro 420, but as of this week, It is being reported. I think it was reported more recently, but I found a story when I was looking it up from just this week that, you know, she's launching the Martha Stewart CBD wellness gummies sampler. Those ones are just CBD. I think there's some that are actually THC.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. But it's like, it's become like the preferred bougie way to get your weed is gummy edibles. I mean, gummy everything is a whole thing, which I think we even talked about, like gummy.
Yeah.
You know, vitamins and gummy melatonin and gummy, like this and that, all the thing. But the THC gummies are like everywhere. There's articles, which ones are the best ones? Best CBD gummies of 2020, Healthline. How to make weed gummies, easy as pie.
Oh my gosh. Like, just think about how weird this is. Like, when we first were doing the first run of It's a Thing in like 2015, was that when it was?
I think so.
This would have been a little bit of an edgy, like, you know, I mean, we don't want to be untoward, but apparently the weed gummies are, you know, under the now it's like with the wave of legalization that we just experienced, it's like, oh, totally mainstream gummies and weed gummies. Right. Yeah.
If anything, it's just like, oh, turns out that our preferred way to ingest weed is no longer like chocolate. Right. It's not, nobody wants to smoke.
People are doing weed gross as gummies. It's like, well, we all know that there's lots of ways to ingest weed. Right. Gummies are apparently a preferred way these days.
Turns out that beef jerky was kind of lame and gummies are where it's at.
And plus, it makes sense because who doesn't love a gummy? There's gummy vitamins. Everybody loves gummies. They're yeah. I mean, I guess some people don't like them getting stuck in their teeth, but rarely a bad thing is said about gummies, I feel.
I think it has really, I think gummies writ large have become like America's preferred distribution system for basically everything.
Right, right. I get my tax refunds as it comes.
It's only a matter of time. Only a matter of time. But yeah, I saw some tweets going around about election night, and it was like, what are we thinking here? Like, stay sober or weed gummies? Like, weed gummies or vodka? Like, what kind of state do we want to be in here?
Plus, no smoke. You're not filling your lungs with smoke with a weed gummy. So
minimal calories. You don't necessarily need a whole freaking brownie.
Right. That's true. Yeah. I mean, they're candy, but you're not, I mean, hopefully you're not eating a ton of them, so.
I think it's just, to be honest, I have not partaken of the weed gummy, but.
Right. No, Matt Porter points out it's after the gummy that the calories come in.
Right. Touche. Mm. Yes. Haven't they like engineered that out now at all?
Munchy-free weed gummies.
Munchy-free weed. I feel like that should be a thing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I don't know.
Please.
I thought it had gotten a lot more advanced.
Feedback at itsathing.me. Let us know if there are these kinds of developments in the weed industry.
Yeah, tell us.
The white claw. Sadly,
God, they are the white claw of weed.
THC sadly makes me extremely paranoid and upset. So I don't really ever partake.
No, I never do. I don't like it. I say this half a hot toddy deep or whatever, but like, it's just not, I don't want to like lose time. I don't know. I don't like it. It's never been
that.
My jam.
And I think that's totally fair. But
CBD oil, I have converted to. Like I hurt my neck and was taking CBD oil for anti-inflammation and just to like have the world's best sleep.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, that's great. Mm. Yeah. I'm not anti. I'm like, it's totally legal.
I always get the proselytizers trying to convince me, like, but have you tried? I'm like, yeah. It's just the way my nervous system works. Sorry.
Own it. It's fine.
That's why it is.
Just because Martha Stewart says.
I don't do everything Martha Stewart says. I don't use Postmates, for goodness sake.
Yeah. Mm.
Just Postmates it.
All right. What else you got?
I got hipster is now a worldwide trend.
Sorry,
mainstream
everyone.
Worldwide trend. And I have three exhibits to put in front of you to prove this.
Hit me.
Exhibit A. In February of this year, Brighton, yes, Brighton in the UK, passed Portland on MoveHub's hipster index.
Whoa. As the most hipster city in the world?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I mean, what's more hipster than to say Portland on MoveHub, first of all?
I mean, seriously, I'm not sure I know. I'm not sure I'm hip enough to even know what MoveHub is. How embarrassing. Yeah.
Also, there's a hipster index. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Brighton in the UK passed Portland in February. Exhibit B, neighborhoods in Barcelona, Hong Kong, and Melbourne were named in the top five coolest neighborhoods, according to Time Out magazine, in October.
Yeah.
I mean, Time Out magazine, the magazine of hipsters.
The magazine of hipsters.
I would argue.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that. Wow.
Yeah, the other two in the top five are downtown Los Angeles, DTLA, and Bedford, I think, Stuyvesant in New York.
The Portland may want to demand a recount because I'm looking at the hipster index score, and even MoveHub.com notes that it is absolutely absurdly close. Like Brighton and Hove of the United Kingdom beat Portland by 1/1000th of a point.
Yes. Count but, every hipster.
Dude.
We may go to automatic hipster recount. But the fact that it's even close, right? Hipster.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
Salt Lake
two,
City.
What's
number
that?
Three. Salt Lake City.
Right?
What?
Not worldwide, but still not the one you might expect.
Hipsters go worldwide. Heaven help us. Now, is this our fault? Are people mad about it?
I feel like these two exhibits alone should be enough to carry this, but I have a third, and I think it clinches the case.
Okay.
Exhibit C. Molly, I have not given you the link for this.
I know.
I would like you to tell me where you think Hairport, a barber, is located based on this description.
Okay.
A pirate in a tricorn flanked by crossbone-style scissors is the logo. Giant photos of tattooed and bearded hipsters cover its walls. Two stylists trim the beards of jeans-clad customers.
Oh, my God. I'm so annoyed right now. Let's see. Okay, so it seems like I got to go with unexpected.
Sure. Yeah, that's obvious, right?
Tokyo?
No, it is not Tokyo. Would you like to take a second guess before I reveal it?
How about, I'm stealing this one from the list, so if it's right, it's going to be amazing, because it was on
All right.
Helsinki?
No, it is not Helsinki. The answer is Kabul, Afghanistan.
What?
Hairport is located in Kabul, Afghanistan.
No way! That's actually awesome.
It's kind of crazy awesome, yeah.
Wow. Okay, yes. You, sir, you get the point.
I think that carries it. And honestly, I heard this story on The Economist about Hairport in Kabul. And, you know, how their spin on the story was like the globalization of hipsterism is due to Instagram and Pinterest, and everybody can see what looks cool and try to imitate it. And look, it's even happening in Kabul. But I was like, man, it really, like, hipster is just mainstream now. It's just global. You cannot get away from that mid-century modern minimalist aesthetic anywhere.
And the freaking beards and the tattoos. That's so fascinating. It really is, because it's not, it elicits such mixed reactions that you wouldn't expect it to instead be, well, a thing worldwide.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like rebels, I mean, they have to be rebels in Kabul to risk this, in my opinion.
I would think so.
Instagram and Pinterest and, you know, Reddit and places like that and go like, oh, that looks cool. Let's do something like that.
I love that. I know. We're like, get them away from me. Then in Helsinki and Kabul, they're like, awesome.
Yeah.
I love that look. I'm in no rush for my coffee. Just take as long as you want the drip. that was the old lady, like, that was the get off my lawn version of responding to hipsters. And your coffee takes too long, too.
pour over.
Exhausting. Get off my lawn. The final thing from us today, we have already talked on the show, and I'm happy that we did, about how chess is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids are like playing chess on YouTube, and it's a whole, you know, whatever. And then I can only assume that some sort of just incredible thing verse synchronicity occurred. And like, that's why the Queen's Gambit went into production.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Queen's Gambit is all anyone can talk about right now. And it's about chess. And I literally was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, which came first? The chess craze or the production of this show? And then given production schedules, you have to assume it's just one of those weird, to use an unfortunate word, pandemic style situations where a bunch of things occurred all at the same time. And now there's like the world's most popular show about chess.
Yeah, because this was clearly produced pre-pandemic, to my way of thinking. It's what, 7 episodes long? I don't think they could have done this level of production, you know, since June when they finally were allowed to even start doing productions again. But Netflix very clearly knew, like, oh, wait, we have this chess thing. Let's plaster that on everyone's launch screen.
And it worked because it sounds like it's great. I haven't watched it yet because see previous statements removing. No time for TV.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it was a good enough character study that it would have been a great show, even if it were not about chess at this exact moment when chess is like peaking. But it does seem to be this sort of magical crossover of thing-a-ding-dongs.
I was somewhat annoyed that they kept pushing it on me on Netflix. Then I had a couple people watch it and tell me it was great. So we decided to try it. And after the first episode, I was hooked. It's just pretty, if nothing else.
It looks beautiful. Yeah.
The people are pretty. The sets are pretty. The cinematography is pretty. Like, everything's just pretty. And so if nothing else, it's like, if you want a period piece set in the 50s and 60s, you got it. And apparently the chess is spot on, according to people who know chess better than I do. And it's a compelling story. It's even a little bit of a predictable story, but I didn't care because I'm like, this is interesting. It's interesting enough. It's based on a book written in 1983, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at you. You did your homework, friend.
We covered it on Cord Killers, so I kind of had to.
Oh, that's why. That's funny. You know why you did? Because it's a freaking thing.
Exactly. Yes.
I mean, it's possible that at this point, when something new comes out, if that new thing is of even remotely good quality, it's almost like the water cooler is back because there are so few new things. And then like a new show comes out and everyone's like, oh, did you see that there's a new show?
Right. But and still. Netflix is the anti-water cooler because they put everything out at once, but yet there's still water cooler talk.
Oh, yeah.
Even though no actual water coolers that anyone's gathering around.
I think even if the show had come out and been beautiful and well produced and had great characters and a really nice story, something about the confluence of chess also being a thing at this exact moment
pushes it
yep. right into thingness.
Yeah, you called it. Absolutely right. Well, then, we are not the only ones who identify things. You do as well. Thank you for doing that and emailing to us feedback@itsathing.me. Vaughn wrote in about pervasive thingness. He wrote, "Dear Tom and Molly, the insanity of the thingness of Among Us cannot be overstated. Yesterday, my children were playing with two other families of kids. They were playing a tag game they called Among Us. My kids have never seen or played the game, nor have the other two families of kids. Two families are homeschooled, one family regular schooled. Yet Among Us is so much a thing, they were live playing it."
Wow. Yeah, we may have to put Manny on retainer, especially after this next email. In which Baller and Shot Caller Manny is back with another walk-off thing call. I've been debating writing in on chess being a thing for a while. But I was convinced it was a Tom hockey thing. That was until today. With the pandemic, chess, like a lot of other sports, has gone online. Unlike something like basketball, chess can be perfectly replicated at a top level online, and many top players stream it on Twitch. The straw that checkmated the king and made me write this email, however, was a Business Wars Daily episode covering chess as a popular online sport, all links at bottom. I did some more digging and found articles by sportingnews.com, CBC, the largest news corporation in Canada, insider.com, and more. I am declaring this a thing.
Nailed it.
I'm just happy we got to that one slightly ahead. We inched out a little victory on that one.
Yeah.
Slightly ahead of Manny.
But it's honestly, at this point, it's good to have Manny in your corner, sort of providing a little extra oomph to it.
Because you're like, okay, phew. That's legit.
Speaking of having somebody in our corner, Fordo, always one we like to have in our corner on more Kornacki. Fordo says the really interesting thing about Steve Kornacki's thingness is that he's a kind of a thing every couple of years. Not to the extent that he has been this election cycle, I guess, but he was wearing those same Gap khakis and non-designer shirts up at the big board in 2016 for that presidential election, and then again 2 years ago for the midterms. And people were talking and tweeting about him like mad then too. But let's monitor Steve's level of thingness going into 2022. Steve is definitely in the thing to watch category. Ciao from the future, because I'm so many hours ahead, Fordo.
Amazing. Manny also confirms, by the way, baller and nice. Shot caller. Amazing. This as an international thing, saying being Canadian, I couldn't really weigh into the Kornacki thing. Now I can. Apparently, sales of khaki shorts spiked at Gap because Steve Kornacki wore them. I don't know what that is, but okay, I'm into it.
It was next to the nailed it sound effect, so I just thought I'd try it and see how it worked.
Adorable.
Yeah, well done, Manny. And then Joe wrote in with a mascot thing.
So good.
Tom, Molly, Rich, and the Clap Gang. those of you who don't get the pre and post show or listen live, people clap before the show. You just have to be there. Joe wrote, I don't recall if we have ever had Gritty as a thing. Gritty is the mascot of the Philadelphia Flyers National Hockey League team, who looks like a grown-up Elmo who just got out of his second stint in rehab. He's been a thing off and on since his inception in 2018. Besides his frightening countenance, his first appearances at hockey games involved mishaps with the t-shirt cannon, including shooting team staff with a shirt and knocking himself and others over while using it. He is truly the spirit of Philadelphia. He has also oddly become a mascot for the political left for reasons I do not understand. Last week, Gritty jumped back up to hot thing status when Dancing Gritty participated in the celebration for Joe Biden in Philly. He was so much a thing, the international news had to make explainers for their viewers as to why an orange Muppet hockey player is dancing about an election. Anyway, Gritty is definitely a thing. I don't understand it, but it's true. Non-serious explainer for the French, serious explainer for the French leagues included of Gritty dancing.
I am so embarrassed. This is exactly one of those moments where I'm like, how did I spend basically two straight weeks sending Gritty tweets and links and pictures and memes back and forth and not put it in as a thing? Because, is Gritty a thing right now?
Yeah. Sometimes you're just inside the thing, you know?
I was literally in the thing bubble.
It's happened to me before, for sure.
And didn't even think to come out. Yeah, no, that's a huge one. That's spectacular. Spectacular. Yeah. Also, Philly being freaking crazy. And spoiler alert, I talked about this a little bit on Make Me Think. It's a crossover. Because one day, I mean, the sort of like Philliness of Philly, the sheer insanity and violence of it became a little mini meme when some on the right were encouraging, you know, supporters of President Trump to go to Philly and like, you know, surround the counting centers or whatever. And everybody in Philly was like, yeah, bring it. And Gritty was just like a weird, my man friend went to Penn and is just like, yeah, no, Philly is insane. Like they throw batteries. They whip batteries at the heads of the winning team kind of place. Like, don't. And so Gritty just as this like sheer violence.
Oh, man. They still throw batteries at Philly. That's just, yeah. That's nuts. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We used to do that. I mean, we meaning St. Louis Blues fans used to do that at the Checkerdome back in the 80s. I don't know that still happens anymore there.
Yeah. Seems like Philly still
hardcore.
Philly still has it.
Philly Gritty. Also the source of Gloria, the St. Louis Blues victory theme. Because they were in Philly at a bar that was the bar that played Gloria over and over
Gloria.
As a celebration when Philly teams were doing well.
Fascinating. Yeah. A Philly-St. Louis crossover is an essay waiting to happen.
Yeah, somebody get their doctoral thesis ready because I'm ready to read it.
You friends remain like A plus level thing spotters. Please keep it coming. Feedback@itsathing.me. It's like the best.
I'd like to propose, Molly, if you agree,
yes.
That anyone who sends us a thing that gets read on the show, and this is retroactive to all episodes, may consider themselves and bill themselves as a doctor of things.
Ooh, I like it. Yeah, there you go. Put it in your Twitter bio, wherever you want this honor to appear.
Yeah.
A doctor of things.
Doctor of things.
Yeah.
You know who's a doctor of shout outs? Our producer.
Look at this. I'm going to be honest. I've been going through the motions. I've just been blah, blah, blah. Hoping the words make sense because I'm just trying to get to the shout outs.
I mean, we both were. Let's be honest. We're professionals, so it probably sounded like we were really into this show, but we're really just waiting for the shout-outs.
Not even a little bit. The shout-outs, of course, refer to those wonderful patrons who support the show at the shout-out level. And every week, God love them, consent to the treatment of the shout-outs. This week, they are based on the books by the children's author Eric Carle. If you are not familiar or can't remember where you heard that name, he wrote The Very Busy Caterpillar and many other books.
Which of our top-level patrons is the caterpillar? We're about to find out.
Begin.
Our first one is, have you seen my Lee Price?
Kevin Sill, please get the moon for me.
The mixed up Eric Duncan.
The very busy Jake Woods. Ding, ding, ding.
Gabriel Cohen's off to see the world.
Brad Sparks, what do you see?
The Louis Saint Amour and the robber.
The mountain that loved Andrew Wyatt.
Watch out, a Mike Akins.
Oh, man, it's been a long time since I was a mom of a little one. I want to go read a children's book.
Good stuff. And thank you to all of you for supporting us at that shout out level that gets you these amazing shout outs every episode.
Seriously, what could be more worthwhile? Thank you, of course, to everyone who listens to It's a Thing and supports the show. If you do support the show, please come and chat with your fellow friends in the Discord. And of course, enjoy your ad-free RSS feed and more. Patreon.com/It's a Thing.
You can also email us your things. Don't forget that email address, feedback@itsathing.me.
Have a wonderful weekend.
See you next time. Politicians. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.